Well, let's turn to number 34 this morning in Songs to Remember. Songs to Remember, number 6, number 34. Welcome to our visitors and our beautiful day, as Brother Massey would also always say, whether we'd have a snowstorm or whatever, it's a beautiful day here. I was saved by grace. Number 34. Number 51. Where's my buddies? Y'all come on. Come on, Hope. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody out for our service today. Good number has come out, and we are glad to see each and every one of you. Glad to have our visitors with us today. Some of you are here for the first time, as far as I know, is the way I'll say it, and we're glad to have you with us today. I want you to feel right at home, and I pray that the Lord will bless you in a great way. Well, I'm going to back up for the last song. I'm bound for the promised land. Are you bound for that place today? I'm thankful that I know that I'm bound for the promised land, and I'm not talking about that land that the children of Israel was promised over in Israel. It's a lot better place than that. What I can definitely say, I always thought Israel was a pretty good-looking area, is the way I say it. And then I took a virtual tour of Israel. They got more rocks than I do. And that's bad. But they got plenty of rocks over there. But at that time, it was a beautiful place. I think it's gone downhill, is the way I'll say, because of everything. But the best thing about the promised land that we have been promised, it is a place of beauty and grandeur, and it's never going to go away. There's no erosion over there. I think that's what happened to Israel, the nation Israel, in that area. I think erosion hit it very strongly. And there's been other things that's happened. There are wars and all those things too. And it's caused many problems for that area. But in that promised land that I'm going to, there's no wars. There's no erosion. I like the song where it says that moth and rust doesn't even corrupt it. Well, scripture, I guess, is what it says, but there's a song about it too. But the fact of the matter is, we're going to a place that's always going to be wonderful. And I'm looking forward to that. Now, the first song, this brought this to mind. In the first song, it talked as I knelt that night with my mother by my side. Not everybody gets to have that privilege. Now, that's a privilege to me. Now, you may have gotten saved in your bed. You may have gotten saved in your car. You may have gotten saved somewhere else. And maybe you was the only one around. Maybe there was other people around there. But I was privileged to kneel at an altar with my mother by my side. She was concerned about me. She was praying for me. I guess probably a lot of times more so than I was. That's the way we as parents do, isn't it? And because we were praying, she was praying for me, finally, that conviction got stronger enough on me that I just couldn't take it any longer. And I trusted in the Lord. And because I trusted in the Lord, you know what? Now I can go to that promised land. That's what salvation is all about. You get to receive the promise of God. Salvation is what we get to enjoy. We thank everybody for being here today. I need to move right along. We're glad to see each and every one here. I hope and pray today that you will get a great big blessing out of being here. And I just pray that the Lord will just send down His mercy upon us and upon these that are unsaved in our midst today. So let's be prayerful for those that are unsaved in our midst today. We're going to call on Brother Sam. We always have a children's church for our kids. Brother Sam's going over here today, kids. Everybody head over here. Our little time for our young ones at this time. Brother Sam.
Move it. Take a seat. Any seat. Any seat will do. Is that it? Is there any others? No others. No others back there. Y'all can listen from where you are. What month is this? September. Tomorrow's the last day of the month, right? So what month comes after September? October. What occurs late in the month of October? Halloween. Halloween. All right. So what do we like about Halloween? Nothing? Tom, we got to work on this. The candy. We like the candy. We love our candy, right? All right. So this is going to cost you something. And I'll tell you how much it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you part of your candy, and I'll tell you at the end, okay? This is a good one. I'm glad this came on me. All right. What's one of the symbols of Halloween that we like? A pumpkin. And what do we make out of a pumpkin? A jack-o'-lantern. All right. Let's talk about a jack-o'-lantern. And I want you to look at it in a different light when we're done here because it's a picture of salvation. Okay? What do you need to make a jack-o'-lantern? A pumpkin. It can be a little one, a big one, or a small, a medium. The operation is the same on all of them to make a jack-o'-lantern, right? Let's go through the steps. What's the first step? You stab the pumpkin. Is the pumpkin attacking you? Where do you cut it? You got to cut the top. That's right, at the very top of it. And then what you got to do? You take the guts out of it. Boy, you're gross. You got to get the goop out. You got to get the strings and the pulp and the seeds and everything that's not necessary. Clean it out, okay? And you're almost there. Then you carve something on it, right? What do you carve on it? A face, like a smile, like a snaggletooth smile. That's what we used to do. We got any snaggletooths here? Anybody lost any teeth? Any snaggletooths? I won't say that. Okay. Then you put a light in there, right? So you can see it, especially in the dark. This is all just a great picture of salvation. It's a good one. Think about this. When you're carving your pumpkin, think about this. It starts with a cut at the top. And what's at the top of our body? Our head. What do most of us, and I say most, what do most of us do with our head? We think. That's right. We have to get rid of our minds to be saved, because there's going to be a whole lot that's going to be put upon you if you haven't been saved, of thoughts that come into your head. You've got to get that behind you. The devil will put thoughts in your head. People that don't believe like we do put thoughts in your head. They deceive you and they don't know what they're doing. But most of all, you need to get your own thoughts out of the way. Okay? You got to get it out of the way. Bib pumpkin, little pumpkin, man, woman, boy, girl, it don't matter. You got to get your mind out of the way so that the Father can then do his work. It's done on the inside. He doesn't save the top. The Lord doesn't save the head. It's a work on the heart. He's got to reach down in there, and he's got to remove all that goop, that sin out of the way, cleans it, and then he puts a light in. Sees in the dark. That's especially when you see it. Sin represents, so that the best that anybody can see of you is especially in a sinful world. Smile on your face. He will see that smile. You got the makings there of salvation. Done with that. And the jack-o'-lantern, it's something completely different. It's something new. Behold, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are become. That'll cost you half of your candy at Halloween. You can take your seat.
Sam? Didn't know where he was going with it. All the candy myself, so. Thankful for Brother Sam, Children's Church. He takes things that are common to our children to bring out the Lord, and that's what he is doing for us today. It's good to see each and every one here. As we said earlier, we're glad to have all of our visitors with us today. Does anybody have a prayer request on your heart before we go to the Lord in prayer? Lord, help. Remember this. Somebody else. Yes. Yes. Yes, sir. Appreciate this. Somebody else. Remember Cohen in your prayers. Somebody else. It's good to see Miss Nettie back. Okay. Let's do remember this. Somebody else. Let's all also remember Brother Slick and Miss Barbara. Brother Slick had his back surgery Thursday, and he's going to take a lot of care. I think he said he'd be down 5 to 6 weeks. So if nothing else, everybody will feel sorry for Miss Barbara. So let's be prayerful for them and pray that the Lord will help him to recover is what we want to do. And so anybody else have a prayer request on your heart? I got another one for you. Let's remember these that are unsaved in our midst. I looked around and I see different ones' faces that I haven't heard say that they're saved. Now, we are guilty a lot of times of thinking that the only time somebody can get saved is during revival. If somebody told you that, that's a lie. People can get saved any time of the year. They can get saved anywhere. I talked about that earlier. And we just want the Lord to touch their hearts, to let them know that they're sinners and that the only way out of that trouble and sorrow that they have and the only way out of hell is by coming to the Lord, repenting of their sin. So let's do remember these in our prayers today. Anybody else have a prayer request on your heart? We want to call on one to start our prayer, but we always say we want everybody to pray in your own way, whether it's out loud or quietly, you pray. Brother James, would you lead us, please? Everybody pray.
Right there. Let's sing number 216. Number 216. I'm bound for that city. Oh, man, it just seems, like on Facebook there's more and more folks asking for people to find the Lord. Have y'all noticed it? And with all the devastation that's going on out there, this song came to us as we were preparing. I love it. There's a great place that we're heading to, y'all. Come on. Here we go. Thank you. may be seated. Number 198. Number 198. Our last song this morning will be number 111. Number 111. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to his name.
Thank you.
Sorry, Tanner. Good morning again, everyone. We're glad to see each and every one out for our service today. We are glad to have everyone here, our visitors especially. I mentioned Sister Nettie being back. I forgot to mention Brother Sonny and Miss Linda. They've had a lot of sickness also, and we're glad that they're able to be back with us again today. Appreciate them. And everybody that may have missed in recent weeks, we are glad you're back to be with us today. And I just pray that we can all come together and serve the Lord the way He wants us to today in this service. If the Lord lays something upon your heart, please do it. Brother Stewart taught this morning in our Sunday school class about us being the forerunner for others that are out there. Of course, he was talking about John the Baptist being the forerunner for Christ. But guess what? You are a forerunner for Christ also. And I just hope and pray that you will show somebody Jesus today. Does anybody have a word of testimony or anything on your heart before we go any further in the service? I got a little bit of a nagging, little dry cough this morning, so bear with me if you will. And we just need to be prayerful one for another. And as I said, let's pray for the ones that are unsaved today. We're going to take a reading lesson today coming from 1 Peter in the first chapter. And I'm going to give you just a few minutes to get there, but I asked you to pray for me today that this message will go where it needs to go. As I say, the lost are here. And if this message is meant for the lost, let's pray that it gets into their hearts. And let's pray that they'll see a need of seeking out the Lord until they find Him, is what we want them to do today. As I said, we're going to take our reading lesson, and it's coming from 1 Peter, the first chapter. I'm going to start reading with verse 19. This is some verses that I use from time to time, but let's take a look at them today. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. That's reading verses 19 through 21 this morning for our reading lesson today. As we look at this, as the way I'm looking at this message, it will be mainly to those that are unsaved today. I want them to see that it is needful for their salvation. Not necessarily preaching to them about their destination of hell. I would hope and pray that they would understand and know that if they died today, they would go into a devil's hell. The destination of the saved will go into heaven. But we today that are saved, we are going to heaven by one method, and that's faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today. And that's the part that we are going to try to bring out today. I want you to notice in that last verse that we read today, where it says, who by Him do believe in God. You see, we today, a lot of people will tell you, you just got to believe in Jesus. Well, right here it says, who by Him do believe in God. You see, today, each and every sinner that is out there in the world today, and we understand that we are in the vast minority of people. We that are saved today, we are in a minority in that few are chosen to be saved. But the fact of the matter is, when Peter wrote these words, he said, who by Him do believe in God? This is the main ingredient to this today. God is the one that does the saving. I realize that there are individuals out there today that really doesn't want to give God the Father the credit for what He is. He is God. Yes, God the Son is God. Yes, God the Holy Spirit is God. But the fact of the matter is, God the Father is God, and we need to keep that in mind. So today, the idea of this message today is going to be that you might believe in God through Jesus Christ. Without Jesus coming into this world, we could not be saved, could we? We could not even know about God. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. The people in Moses' day, they knew about God. Yes, they knew about God, but they forsook God. What about the people in Abraham's day? Yes, many of them knew about God, but many of them betrayed God. What about the people in Noah's day? Yes, Noah and his family knew about God, but did they all follow God in His ways? No, they did not. Now, let me give you another verse here today as a place of kind of getting started about knowing God through Jesus. Then verse 18 of Ephesians in the first chapter, I want you to notice a word here. It says in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Let's stop there just for a moment. It's important for every lost soul for their eyes to be enlightened. Usually what we talk about as far as being enlightened, we think of some mystical thing that happens. You know, somebody has a revelation of some sort. But I can tell you today, I remember the time when that my eyes was open to the fact that I was a sinner. I can also tell you the time and the place where I was at when my eyes was actually open to the fact that Jesus was going to be my Savior and I trusted in Him. In other words, you've got to get your eyes opened up. That's what enlightened means. It means to reveal it unto you. He says here, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling. You know, we talked a little bit today. Brother Keith sang many songs today about heaven and about going there. And all of these things are good for us to know. But knowing what's in the song is one thing, but knowing what's in the Word of God and what He says here, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling. You see, God, in His great mercy, He was looking down upon this earth wanting to save His creation. He had a desire to His creation because the man Adam had sinned against Him. He had transgressed the law of God. He did not believe God when God told him that he would surely die, that if he ate of that tree, he would surely die. And because of all of that, he had a desire to save them. Did you realize that that came about even before that man sinned? In other words, even before that you sinned, he had a desire that he might save your soul, that you might be made one with Him, be cleaned up. We'll get into that maybe in a little bit. But according to the working of His mighty power, you see, this is what God is doing to make it where that you can see the Son of God and by His works that you can believe in God
as a whole. Not just God the Son, but God as a whole. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Now, let us finish up our reading here. He said, of which he hath wrought in Christ Jesus, worked, in other words, and he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. You remember what we said in verse 21, who by him do believe in God. You see, God, in his great purpose, he did a great thing in front of all of the world, is what he did. He did something that had never been done before. You might say, well, wait a minute, wasn't there some people that was raised from the dead before Jesus was raised from the dead? Yes, there was. Actually, there was three in the Old Testament and three in the New Testament. But they all had a middle figure, somebody that helped them in that case. If you think about Elijah and Elisha both raising people from the dead, they went to them and they prayed and they done the things that God wanted and they raised them from the dead. You think about when Jesus came upon the boy that had died, that was the only child. Jesus came to them and he laid his hand on the pall and the boy raised from the dead. You think about the others that Jesus did, especially Lazarus, when he told him to roll the stone away and then called him to come forth. You see, Jesus was that mediator between them that they might come back from the dead. But who was the mediator for Jesus? It was of his own power, God's own power, that he was raised from the dead. And he says again in this 20th verse, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Now, we understand today that God put Jesus in his place. You might say, well, you're making it sound like he made him do something that he didn't want to do. No, Jesus did all of this willingly. Now, how often do we see individuals in this world today that are willing to give their lives for others? Oh, we see it occasionally. We see, you probably saw some scenes of individuals during the flood up in East Tennessee, how that they risked their lives that others might be saved. Yeah, you might see that. But as a general rule, most human beings will try to protect themselves before they protect anybody else. Bible tells us in the book of Romans that scarcely will one give his life for another. Even for his friend is what the Bible says. Scarcely is what it tells us. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus did it out of love in that he came into this world to give his life for us. Let's go to the book of Romans in the 3rd chapter. And these are verses that I like to talk about, too, because it tells the plan of salvation. It tells us what Jesus did that you might believe in God. It tells us in the 24th verse of the 3rd chapter of Romans, he said, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now everybody will jump up and down and say, yes, we're saved by grace. Yes, grace is a very important part of God. It is the part of him that wants to give and do for us regardless of what is being done, what sin there is. Now get the next part of this, verse 25. He says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God. Let's talk about righteous. You see, God is a righteous God. He does everything exactly right. He never does anything that is wrong. You might say, well, wait a minute here. He destroyed people during the flood. Well, he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. That's going to get into our next part. But God is a righteous judge. You know, we as people, we have a hard time many times deciding what is really right and what is really wrong. It's really got to be a problem in this world today. You know, most people in the world today, they'll say, well, I believe this is right, and I know that's wrong, but there's an area in between that just maybe is not exactly wrong, but it's not just exactly right. And we as people, we justify ourselves by going through that sin. Yeah, we are. But God always is righteous. He is always good. He does everything in a perfect way. So now let's get the third point of this. He says in verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he may be just. Uh-oh, wait a minute. And the justifier, back up, let's stop before we read that. Let's go back to being just. Okay, he's right, but he's always just. You know, God is the type that he's going to not only be righteous in what he does, but he's going to be just in what he does. Now, in our day and age today, we have people that go into courtrooms and we look at them and they say, well, it was the circumstance that they was in. They was raised wrong. That's one excuse that we hear. Sometimes we may say, well, he was in a fit of anger and he did that, and thus it was we can justify it by that. Others will say, well, it was something else that happened. Maybe he didn't get enough love from his parents, and thus we can say that maybe it wasn't as bad for them. Now, remember, God is righteous. He knows right. So he's got to be just. So in this today, where is God? We know that he is just, we know that he's righteous, and we know that he is gracious. So when God looks at individuals in this world, when he looked at me, I'll say it in that way, he looked at me and he saw me as a sinner. That's what I was. I was a sinner in his eyes. I had needed to be condemned. What is the penalty of sin? Do you remember? Just a few chapters over, it'll tell you. It says, for the penalty of sin is death. Death is what it is. So if you sin, the just penalty for death, or for sin, is death. So think about that today. So this is God's justice. He said, if you sin, you will die. But God is gracious. He wants to do you good. He wants to do right because he's righteous. He wants to help you because he loves you. That's what we as parents do, isn't it? We try to help our children because we love them. We try to teach them what they should learn in school because we love them. We want them to behave in life, so we love them in that manner. When we're doing all of these things, do you realize we're mimicking the very idea of what God is? But the fact of the matter is, we still are falling short of the righteousness, the justness, and the graciousness of God. Now, So how do we get around all of these? God is gracious. He wants to save. God is just. So he must have his justice satisfied. But God is righteous, so he wants to do that which is right. A sinner is sitting there, and they are a sinner, deserving death. The word, the big word, a friend of mine used to call that an eight-cylinder word, propitiation. It's a big word, but it has a meaning of basically how that God would be satisfied in all three of these points. And how did that happen? Through his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, in God's grace, he wanted to show them love. In God's justice, he required that the penalty be carried out. But in his righteousness, he had to do what was right. So now, in his righteousness, he saw his Son who was willing to go to a cross of Calvary that he might show them love and mercy, that he might die for our sins. Go back to our reading lesson, if you will, and especially where it says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb that without blemish and without spot. You see, all of the sacrifices that had been made in the lifetime between the time of Adam until the time of Christ, there's still people that are sacrificing even today. All of these sacrifices could not save a single soul. None of them did. None of them saved a single soul. He said, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times, and I want you to get this, for you. Why did Jesus do all of this? You know, it would have been very easy for Jesus to stay in heaven. It said, the Bible tells us, and I believe it's in the book of Hebrews, where it says that Jesus became a little lower than the angels, that he might suffer for you and I. How did he suffer? You see, when he went to the cross of Calvary, you know what he did? He went there not having any sin. He was righteous. He was God. He had lived his life here on this earth without sinning one single time. He never said any words out of the way. He never said a crossword. He never cursed anybody. He never done anything that was wrong. He was always righteous. So why did he have to die? Unjustly? Yes, unjustly, truthfully, because he didn't deserve to die. But he did it so that your eyes might be enlightened, that they might be opened up, that by his death he manifests the very fact of his righteousness and his glory that he showed unto them in that day. So that through him, you might believe in God. Go with us, if you will, if I can find it right quickly. And I went too far on that. But what it said in that place in the scripture was that through him, what he did, He was manifest in that way. And he said, God did not gave that judgment unto his son, but that through him the glory might come unto God. You see, by his righteousness, Jesus' righteousness, he became the one that satisfied the justice of God, but also it satisfied the righteousness of God and also satisfied the graciousness of God, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life, is what the scripture tells us, right? Let us get one more verse, and I'll try to wind this up, Brother Key. We want to turn to the third chapter of the book of Romans, if you will, for just a moment. And that's where I was at just a little bit ago. Because all of this was declared. Why did God allow this to be declared to us? So that the greatness of his son Jesus, the greatness of his work that he did, might be shown to us. What did that do? It allowed us to see the love of God in that very moment, in that time, for us. That whosoever would believe in him. The idea of it all was that you might believe, was really what it came down to. When we, as Brother Stewart taught in our Sunday school class this morning, when we tell individuals about Jesus, when we talk to people about his saving grace, when we just tell them how God saved our soul, that declares God unto a lost and dying nation. It declares him in such a way that we should hold on to it greatly within ourselves, but also showing the world that, like us, they can be saved. I thank God today that my Savior, he showed me something when I was down on an altar seeking the Lord that nobody else could do. I told you my mother was there by me praying. But it was not my mother's prayer that saved me. It was not the preachers around me that saved me. It was not anybody that was around me. I had a good crowd of people, I think, that night around me. But the fact of the matter was, it was Jesus that actually did the saving. Because when that I trusted in him, God said, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for out of that young man. And Jesus said, Father, he believed. And God sent his spirit down into my soul. He sent him down into my soul. And as Brother Sam used in his illustration of a pumpkin, he cleaned all of that sin, all of that, I think his word was gunk, out of there. And that's really about right what it is. He cleaned every bit of that out, and he put a light in there, his spirit. Let that light so shine today. While we stand and sing, if you're here today and you know you're a lost sinner, it's a good time. It's a real good time for you to seek the Lord right now. These benches up here in front, these altars as we call them, they're convenient places to pray, and you're welcome to come and use them today. And I would encourage each and every one of us who knows somebody that's lost to tell those that you know that are lost, it's a good time to pray and seek the Lord. Right now is the best time to seek the Lord, before it's everlasting too late. While we stand,
number 255.